reading is from Matthew 6, verses 1 to 18. That's on page 970. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men their fasting. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you.
Please do keep your Bibles open at that point. Let me pray for us as we start. Father God, probably today has been quite a busy day for many of us. Would you please help me to explain your word engagingly? Father, would you open our ears and our hearts to listen to it? And Father, we pray that it might change us in the coming week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know how many people know of him, but Robert Redford is an American film actor, so that's probably in his younger days. So probably the last film that I've ever heard of on Internet Movie Database, most recently that he's done, is The Horse Whisperer. He's also done things such as Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, and also he's set up the Sundance Film Festival, so he's quite a big mover and shaker in the movie business back in the States. So he's quite famous, and there's a story, I hope it's true, but there's a story going around that a female fan recognised him as he was walking through the lobby of an American hotel. And so she went up to him, and he just pressed the elevator, and the doors opened, and he was stepping into the elevator. And the female fan said, "Oh, are you the real Robert Redford?" And as she stood on the outside, and as he stood on the inside, the doors closed, he said, "When I'm alone, I am." What a put down for a fan, but also what a truth that, you know, are you the real Robert Redford? When I'm alone, I am. And there's quite a lot of truth in that. So when we're together with other people, sometimes we can put on masks, sometimes we can play different parts, sometimes we can try and impress other people because there are other people there. But generally, when we're alone, that is when, you know, the masks come off, and that's when we're the real Jonathan Gregory or the real whoever you are. And that this putting on mask happens everywhere. It doesn't just happen outside church, it happens within church. And the big question is, what does Jesus think about that when Christians put on masks to show other people what they think they would want to be seen? Why does it happen? What does Jesus think about it? And we're going to have a look at Matthew 6, verses 1 to 18 to find out the answer. So the first thing that Jesus says, and we're going to, in this sermon, we're just going to skim across the surface, like just like skimming stones across some water, because we don't have time to get all the detail. If you're interested in the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, we went through it clause by clause, section by section during the summer. It's there on the website. Please do go and have a look at that. But we're just going to go fairly briefly through it. And so the first point is, don't be spiritual show-offs. Don't be spiritual show-offs. So if you haven't been with us for the last few weeks, we've been going through verse by verse through the Sermon on the Mount. So the Sermon on the Mount was where Jesus took his disciples up onto a mountainside and started to teach them what it is like to be one of his disciples. Remember, not how to become one of his disciples, but what it's like when you are one of his disciples. And so generally, the people who are listening are his disciples. But at the very end, we actually see that more and more the crowd is growing, and actually more interested onlookers are coming to listen. So also partway through the sermon, he's also saying, as well as to my disciples, he's encouraging people to become his disciples. And one of the big things that Jesus has said in chapter 5, verses 17 to 20, is that he's come to fulfill the Old Testament law. And then he comes through six case studies, and Neil's gone through the last 3 weeks looking at those six case studies. So a case study on murder and adultery, divorce and oaths, not taking revenge, and love for enemies. And he's just gone through those case studies one by one and said what he has to say about those things. And in each case study, Jesus said it's not enough just to tick the external boxes. It's just not enough. So he has been saying that, okay, you might be able to say, I've not killed anyone, I've not physically killed anyone. But actually, it also matters in the heart. Have you been angry with someone? And if you have, Jesus says, that is murder in the heart. So that's big news. I haven't killed anyone, but I have been angry with someone, with many people. And actually, that's a high standard. That's an impossible life to live. And so if you have a look at your Bibles down to chapter 5 and verse 48, the big thing that closes off that section is 5 verse 48. And this is what he's saying to his followers. Jesus is saying to his followers, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And so a new section begins in 6 verse 1, and that we're going to have a look at that. But you know what sinful people like you and sinful people like me do with these high standards of, you know, trying to follow Jesus? What we do is we think to ourselves, wouldn't it be great if someone else saw me being that godly? Wouldn't it be great if someone saw me giving something to the poor? Wouldn't it be great if people saw me living out the life that Jesus has asked me to live out? And instead of doing things for an audience of one, we do things for an audience of many. And the audience of one is God, but the audience of many are the people around us. And so this is what Jesus is speaking to when he begins 6 verse 1. Have a look down at 6 verse 1. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So what does Jesus mean by acts of righteousness? Well, what he means is, warns his followers about is, be warned, don't do your spiritual devotions for other people to see. That's what he's saying. And Jesus gives three kinds of spiritual devotions that the Jews would be really familiar with. So have a look down. So giving, verse 2. Prayer, verse 5, and fasting, verse 16. So that isn't a comprehensive list. So you could also, if you're Christians today, we could also ask, reading our Bibles, that's a spiritual devotion. Telling other people about Jesus, evangelism, that's a spiritual devotion. Those are the things that Jesus is talking about. And the danger is that we show off our spiritual devotions to other people to be seen by them, to make them impressed that we are quite godly. And that's the danger that Jesus knows about, and that's the danger that Jesus is trying to correct. And three times during these verses, Jesus uses the word hypocrite. Did you see that down in verse 2? So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues. So our English word hypocrite comes almost directly from the Greek word for hypocrites. And actually it was used for actors on a stage. So if Tom Cruise was around 2,000 years ago and he had to fill out on a form and what his occupation was, he would put down hypocrite. And it wouldn't be a negative thing. That is what they call actors on a stage. They were hypocrites. But because the audience knew that they were acting, you know, it wasn't a negative thing. The thing is that it developed a negative meaning when used to describe people who weren't actors on a stage, but were acting out a role to other people to impress them, whether they were doing that intentionally or actually unintentionally. And so Jesus calls those who show off their spiritual devotions to others hypocrites, actors, play actors. Not reality. There's no real spiritual devotion there. They are wanting other people to see what they are doing. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. They have received their reward in full. So you can imagine the scene. It's a hot, dusty day in Jerusalem. There's a road, there's some shops, there are cattle going by. There are people going to and fro on business. And all of a sudden, a trumpet goes off. So, and there appears a man, a well-dressed man on the corner. He never really goes down that street generally because it's where all the crippled and the lame normally walk. But he appears and he's dressed in purple cloth because that's the real expensive cloth of the time. And he starts handing out quite visibly gold coins to the lame and to the poor and to the needy. And he says things like, oh, bless you. And you're doing this makes my life really worthwhile. And things like that. And he says these things in more of a loud voice than generally he speaks in. And Jesus says, hypocrite, actor, playing a part so other people can see. He wants people to think he can be very godly and spiritual when actually he's not. On his own, he's not giving out gold coins to the needy. He's hoarding them away. If the crowds weren't watching, he wouldn't be there. If the crowds weren't watching, he wouldn't be there. We're going to skip to the third example in verse 16. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they receive their reward in full. So back then, some Jews would, when they were fasting, I mean, they were only commanded to fast once a year, so on the Day of Atonement. But when they were fasting, they used to disfigure their faces. So sometimes they would go around with long faces, you know, the fasting face, sort of walk around, with a massive lower lip, or, maybe when you were a teenager, that's what you did with your parents. So, and people would think, why are they looking like that? Oh, they're fasting. And maybe they would sprinkle ashes on their head to show repentance. That's what it's meant to do. And that's what's talking about disfiguring their faces, wearing a long face and wearing ashes on their head. And people would say, oh, okay, they're fasting. Wow, they must be pretty godly if they're going without food. That's pretty, that's pretty serious. I'm quite impressed with that person. And again, they just do it so other people can see it. The reason why they take the ashes and put them on the heads, the reason why the lower lip starts to extend is so that other people can see it. And Jesus just says, hypocrites, actors. That might have been 2,000 years ago. Things haven't changed very much today. If you're a Christian, don't you recognize the same tendency to want to show off your spiritual devotions in others so that other people are impressed? If you don't, I know that I do. Those acts of righteousness you do, giving money or praying or fasting or reading the Bible or telling other people about Jesus, that should be for an audience of one, our Father in heaven. And yet, we see a human audience and we all become spiritual Tom Cruises. Lights, camera, action. I'm going to show you how godly I am by my spiritual devotions. I'm going to pray really longer prayers, more. My voice is going to change. I'm going to show you that I'm a really spiritual person rather than showing God what we're really like. Let me suggest two diagnostic questions to maybe, if you haven't spotted hypocrisy in your life, two diagnostic questions to try and show you that there might be hypocrisy there. So question one, do you do spiritual things in public that you hardly ever do in private? Do you do spiritual things in public that you hardly ever do in private? So when you're at home group, do you pray for a city missionary but in home group, in the prayer time, but never on your own? So does the topics that you pray for change when you're in public? In Student Plus, are you quick to read the passage from Mark when someone asks, but never read the Bible at home on your own? I sound slightly hospital past the Student Plus leaders tonight. No one's going to want to read tonight. But you know, are you eager to read the Bible in front of other people, but then Monday morning comes and actually, no one's watching. I won't read it today. That's the first diagnostic question. The second one, does the way you do spiritual things change when you're in public? Does the way you do spiritual things, so praying, reading the Bible, telling people about Jesus, things like that, does it change when you're in public? So every month we have a central prayer meeting. If you come to that, do your prayers lengthen when you come to a central prayer meeting? Do you pray for a minute at home, but then when the lights, camera, action come on, do you pray at 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes in the central prayer meeting? Do you adopt a different tone of voice when you pray in public than when you pray in private? Is it slightly a little bit higher to try and get across that you're a little bit more spiritual? I don't know. That's some of the questions that you need to be asking yourself. Perhaps some of us will be feeling guilty as Christians, because as I've been speaking, the Holy Spirit has been working, convicting, saying, actually, that's not quite right in your life. And you need to remember two things. You need to remember two things. The first thing is that you're a child of God based on Jesus' death and not on your performance. So one mistake that you can make when you read the Sermon on the Mount is you think, my performance makes me right with God. It doesn't. You're a child of God because of Jesus' death on the cross and not on your current or past or future performance. And so you're in a secure position to say to God, yes, I feel that conviction. I've sinned. I'm sorry. That guilt doesn't affect your status as part of the family. And that's great news. You are still in the family. Just because you feel guilt now doesn't mean that you're not part of God's family. The second thing is, and this is really important, so can you look back at Matthew 5, verse 4? And Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. And it's not mourning after people who die. It's mourning over your sin. Blessed, happy, strange, isn't it? Are those people who mourn over their sin, for they will be comforted. And so if you are feeling, if you're a disciple of Jesus today and you are feeling guilt over hypocrisy in your life because you do spiritual things in public that you do not do in private, then Jesus is standing there saying, come back, mourn for your sin, but I will accept you back. And it's just great news. You are blessed if you mourn for your sin. And as you read through the Sermon on the Mount, you'll have more of that as you look at what Jesus says and you think, I'm a failure. And you need to run back to Jesus, remembering that you're still part of the family, but you need to run back to Jesus for forgiveness, a restoration, and a new start. But perhaps you're here as someone who wouldn't call themselves a Christian. You know, you've never prayed, fasted in your life. In fact, you've been put off Jesus because of Christians, because you've watched them closely and you've seen hypocrisy in their lives and you think, that's not on. That is, that shouldn't be. Why are followers of Jesus hypocrites? How do you expect me to follow Jesus when his followers are a bunch of hypocrites. And I'm going to say something that might surprise you. Jesus agrees with you. He doesn't want his followers to be hypocrites. He hates hypocrisy in the lives of people. And my appeal to you is, first of all, not to look at the Christian, but to look at Jesus. Look at a man whose life is fully in line, in public and in private. There's no whiff of hypocrisy with Jesus. Maybe as you've read the Gospels, you've seen this man just live a consistent life. And actually, you're quite impressed by him. Maybe actually you don't have an opportunity to do that. We're running a Christianity Explore course. We'll talk about a little bit more. But if you've never really looked at Jesus' life and never seen what he's done in the Gospels, can I encourage you? That's on a Monday night, tomorrow. There will be an advert later on. But do join us for Christianity Explored if that's you. But second, you know, if you're sort of not a Christian because of hypocrisy in the lives of his followers, can I just say, isn't there maybe a Christian, even though they don't live up to the standards, even though you know that they fail, isn't there a Christian whose life you know that you actually are impressed by? They're growing. Yeah, they fail. Sometimes they're hypocrites, but they're growing more and more like Jesus. And my question to you, if you know someone like that, what's your explanation for that? You know, we are failures. I'm a failure. But actually, Christians grow more like Jesus. And my encouragement to you, as well as go to the Christianity Explore course, is to study that life of that person who calls themselves Christian and see what makes them tick. So secondly, do spiritual things in secret. Do spiritual things in secret. So Jesus gives us a weapon to fight hypocrisy, and that's secrecy. Have a look at some verses with me. Verse 3. So chapter 6, verse 3. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And then moving on down to chapter 6, verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. So go into a room, close the door so no one else can see you, and pray to your Father who you can't see. And then finally, verse 17. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. So he's saying, you know, wash, shave, if that's appropriate, put moisturizer on, you know, gel your hair, make sure that people don't know by your outward appearance that you're fasting. So how does secrecy actually help us to fight against hypocrisy? Well, it removes the human audience, and as a result, it significantly reduces the desire to try and impress other people. We are who we are when we're alone. Are you the real Robert Redford? When I'm alone, I am. So when you don't have a crowd to give you applause for your spirituality, then that purifies our motives. And if you're doing something in secret where only God can see you, then actually your motives are more likely to want to please God, for him to see what you are doing. So Christian author John Stott says this when he's talking about prayer. We need to remember that the purpose of Jesus' emphasis on secret prayer is to purify our motives in praying. Do note what Jesus isn't saying. This is what Jesus isn't saying. Jesus doesn't say, don't ever give publicly, don't ever pray publicly, and don't ever fast publicly. He's not saying that. He is saying, look back at verse 1. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men. Full stop, no. To be seen by them, for the intention of being seen by them. So he's not outlawing public prayer. So don't worry, you can come to the central prayer meeting. You can go to a Bible study and pray in the Bible study. He's not outlawing giving. So a few years ago, I can't remember exactly what it was for. I should have asked before I came up. I know City Church had a promise auction. Was it raising Tiverton Road, but money for Tiverton Road? Okay. We were buying Tiverton Road, and they had a promise auction, and I think it must have been in public. People bid for things, use money. That wasn't wrong. Jesus isn't saying, City Church, you were wrong for having a public auction. He's not saying that. He's saying, don't do it in public when your desire is to impress other people. So one way of helping to fight against hypocrisy, because sometimes we do pray in public. Someone's going to pray in public tonight. Be gracious with them after the sermon. Obviously, Bee's read, be gracious with her. But in order to fight hypocrisy, then we need to do things in the private place long before we do them in the public place. So when you eventually come to do your spiritual devotions, they are just an overflow of what you're just really like. And so the question is, are you prepared to pray in the private place before you're ever pray in the public place? Let me say that again, that's really important. And that doesn't just focus on prayer, it's everything. Are you prepared to pray or to give or to fast or to read the Bible in the private place before you ever pray in the public place? So third, as we sort of skim across this passage, do it for the reward. Do it for the reward. So what's going to motivate us to give and to fast and to pray in private? If you take away the people watching you and thinking you're really great, really spiritually great, what's going to motivate you to go home, shut the door so no one else can see you, and pray privately? What's going to motivate you when you decide that City Church is going to be your home to say, okay, I'm going to start giving to City Church, but no one else is going to know it's apart from me, God, and Laurie, the church manager, who's the only people who know who gives what? Well, actually, Jesus gives us the motivation, and he says, do it for the reward. Do it for the reward. Verses 2 to 4. Have a look at chapter 6, verses 2 to 4. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. This is important. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You see that? Will reward you. So there are two offers of reward in place. There is the reward of people actually seeing you do your spiritual things and thinking you're pretty godly and being impressed. And then there's the reward of God seeing it and rewarding you. So, the human reward, which is fickle and transitory, they might think you're good for maybe a minute or so, and then they might forget. But the other reward is from God, who sees and will reward you, who will keep a record of the things that you do. Now, I know that throws up all sorts of questions. I think the biggest question probably is, what is the reward? So let's be clear, getting into heaven is not based on what we do. It's not based on fasting or praying or things. Someone can be really religious, pray and fast and give money, but never make it into heaven. The only people who are in heaven are forgiven people. People who've run to the cross of Jesus, run to Jesus and say, I'm a failure, please forgive me, I want to live with Jesus as my Lord. But the Bible does seem to make clear that for those who are Christians, God rewards them as they live. So that reward is future. So have a little look, a passage that's going to come up next week in verse 19, chapter 6, verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. So the reward is future. It's in heaven. The treasure is there. That's where the reward is. So what is it? Can I be honest with you? I don't exactly know. Jesus isn't particularly clear on this point, and I'm going to sit on the fence about this. But Jesus uses the idea of reward, heavenly reward in the future, to motivate us to do our spiritual devotions in private, reading the Bible, praying, giving to the needy, fasting, things like that. Now, some of you might not like this idea of doing something for a reward. It might sit a little bit uncomfortably on you. It might feel a little bit mercenary. I don't know whether you can think back to when you were a child and, you know, your parents wanted you to do a job like mow the lawn and you thought, oh, nah, stuff that, I don't want to do that. And then they say, oh, come on, you know, do it. And you say no. And they say, well, we'll give you £5 if you do it. And you say, okay then. And actually you do it not because you love your parents, not because you want to give something back to them, but because you want the £5. So it might feel a little bit mercenary to say, do something for God for a reward. Maybe that's what you're thinking at the moment. Is that really the kind of motivation that Jesus is using here? Well, the answer is yes. Jesus is inviting us to think about our heavenly reward to motivate our acts of righteousness, our reading the Bible, our praying, our giving here on earth now. So future reward for what we're doing now. So let me bring the big guns out. This is one of the best C.S. Lewis quotes. I think it's a great quote. This is what C.S. Lewis says. If there lurks in most modern minds the notion that to desire our good and earnestly hope for the enjoyment of it is a bad thing, I submit that that notion has crept in from Kant, who is a philosopher, and the Stoics, who are a group of philosophers, I think, and is no part of the Christian faith. Indeed, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord Jesus finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he can't imagine what is meant by offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. And what Lewis is saying there is, if you don't like the idea of obeying God for reward, then actually you're not listening to Jesus. You're not listening to Jesus' teaching. Actually, listen to this fella, Immanuel Kant. That's the guy who's come up with that idea. You're actually following the philosopher Immanuel Kant, who said, doing a good deed for absolutely no reward, that's the best way of doing it. But actually, we need to follow Jesus. And Jesus says, pray in secrets, fast in secrets, for a reward. So compare the two rewards. Compare them. If you do your acts of righteousness so that they can see them, then, yeah, you gain their admiration for a second, but it's gone like that. They might turn on you a few days down the line. You can't bank it. In fact, the same person might criticize you a few weeks down the line. Let me illustrate how transient that reward is. Can I have that picture up? Do you want to just stick up your hand who you know that person is? We've got two people in this room who know who this person is. Thank you. Two people. Can I tell you, that is the X Factor win of 2007. That's Leon Jackson. He had loads of people thinking he was the best in 2007. Lots of people thinking good things about him. Where's that good thinking gone now? It is so transient. Do you really want that type of reward? It's just gone. But doing things in secret means that your heavenly bank balance grows. So at the next mission and ministry gift day, you secretly choose to give some money to City Church. You know, ka-ching, your reward in heaven grows. When you receive the weekly prayer email, if you're a member, you do that. And Laurie says, actually, there are 10 to 15 members of the church to pray for this week. And you pray for them in secret. Ka-ching! An extra zero is on your bank accounts in heaven. If you do that. Tomorrow morning, when you get up and you don't want to read the Bible, and if that's probably me tomorrow morning, I probably won't want to read the Bible tomorrow morning. Think to yourself, if I do read my Bible, then my heavenly Father will see it, and he will note it, and he will reward me. Isn't that an encouragement to read your Bible tomorrow morning? It's definitely an encouragement for me. What are we going to do with Jesus' words for us tonight? What are you going to do with them? Most of us need to recognize that there is hypocrisy in our lives, if we're Christians. We do things to show off to other people. We stress our spiritual stuff to impress people. And what we need to do is to stop performing our spiritual devotions in public and to do them in private, to ask for forgiveness. And Jesus loves to forgive people and bring them back into an enjoyment of the relationship that they have. And one of the ways we can be motivated by not trying to perform, not trying to be spiritual show-offs, is to remember that there is a reward for people who do their spiritual devotions for an audience of one. And that's our Father in heaven. Let me pray for us. Father, these are big issues, big topics. Father, would you create a change in our hearts so that we long to do these things privately before we ever do them publicly? Father, forgive us for our hypocrisy. Most of us can see that in our lives. And please change us. Thank you that Jesus lived a completely hypocrisy-free life. Help us to want to become more like him. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.